In fact, you get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Title this message, A Burning Fire in My Bones. Draw your attention this morning down to verse 7. Jeremiah 20, verse 7, it says, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived, and Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoiled, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that trieth the righteous, and seest the reins of in the heart, let me see Thy vengeance on them, for unto Thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach Thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word and what it continues to teach us. Lord, that even in our up days and in our down days, You are there with us. You're always there for us. You've said in Your Word, I will never forsake You, I'll never leave You. And Lord, I pray that that is a constant in our lives, and that, Lord, that we give You praise, honor, and glory for that. But Lord, that relationship can only be found through Your Son, Jesus. And our prayer today, Lord, if there's one who's never trusted in Your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. But again, for we who are saved, Lord, I pray that we'll draw strength from this message, from Your Word this morning. I pray that You guide and direct my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet. He was called the weeping prophet. And he wept over the sinful condition of his people, talking about the Jews, the Israelites. And he preached unto them that they would end up going into captivity because of their sins. This was not an easy job that the Lord had given them this task to do. And to think about this, a Bible message is a serious and hard message to receive many times. It's not only hard sometimes to preach it, but it's also hard times to receive it, especially when we hear that we have done things that are against God, and we need to confess our sins before the Lord. And sometimes those who carry the message can get into a lot of trouble. There have been many preachers that have been run out of town because of what they preached. In fact, in the Scriptures, we have men such as Paul who was driven out of town. We have Stephen. They didn't like what he said. Stoned to death. You know, these types of things. And the other apostles. And we're no different when it comes to sharing the truth of God's Word. Now again, the Word of God needs to be shared in love, but it has to be shared for its strictness to what it has to say. In other words, without compromise, without watering it down. Jeremiah faced death, imprisonment, suffering, and the hard words of princes and the king. He determined not. In fact, as we were reading here, as we said in verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him. He declared, I'm not even going to speak anymore about him. But in this chapter, I believe that we can clearly see and observe that the testings, the afflictions, the perplexities, the emotional openness, hopefulness, and discouragements and despairs of this man of God. You know, Brother John mentioned there as we were singing that song, Hide Thou Me, and I thought, boy, that is very apropos to this message this morning. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain, and then I struggle to even see why. But then I remember Jesus and all His love for me, that I just cry, O Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. You see, we're going to see that about Jeremiah this morning. But you know, one of the things that we look at, first of all, let us be not quick to condemn the prophet's failings. But we need to stop and consider that, is that had he have not shown us his frustrations and his candor about what was going on, then how would we have understood that even God's man, God's prophet, can even have discouragement at times, can feel all alone and feel like the whole world is falling around about him? But I'll tell you I have to also say this chapter 20 here does not describe the moods of a single day. I believe that it appears to be a collection of complaints from various periods and experiences during Jeremiah's prophetic ministry. In fact, if you recall, even when Job himself, he had gotten, you know, afflicted by Satan with all the boils and everything, he sat around, his friends came around, they accused him of everything. And there were days that, you know, Job says, it'd been better if I hadn't been born. Well, we're going to see even Jeremiah, he had that fleeting moment. There would have been better if I hadn't even been born. And there are probably times that in your life that you wish I hadn't ever been born, because of all that's going on around us, the evil that's in the world and things, the people standing against us. And it seems like even though I try to serve the Lord and what He's called me to do, it just seems that I can't get any traction. And sometimes we ask, is it worth it? But again, as we will see, it is all worth it. It's all worth it, even though the struggle to serve the Lord is hard. Now, what about here? What Jeremiah was doing? Why did he get to this position? Is that in chapter 9, or 19 rather, if you back up into chapter 19, one of the things that we find about Jeremiah and some things that were going on, remember what I said, is that there have been all kinds of, he had been thrown into a miry pit one time. He was suffered imprisonment. And notice here in chapter 19, it says in verse 1, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle. And now what he was supposed to do here, it says go and get. In other words, purchase this potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people. In other words, those that were, these are the ones that were to accompany him. Take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests. These are the people that were known. They should have known the Word of God. They should have been preaching and teaching. They should have been speaking about idol worship and against it. They should have been saying, cleanse the house of Israel, cleanse the house of the Lord. And take them and go into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Now he says, here's what I want you to say. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, or unto Baal, high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my heart, or into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. So what was he saying here? The preaching. This was the crying out unto the people that Jeremiah had been preaching and teaching. And he'd also been teaching them that they were going to end up falling. They were going to end up falling, and they were going to end up falling. It was going to be to Babylon. Many of them were going to die. And in fact, that's what verse 6 says. Is that this valley is no longer going to be called the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And in fact, verse 7 says, and I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth, and I will make this city desolate, and a hissing, every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss, because of all the plagues thereof, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of the friend and of his friend, and the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and that they seek their lives shall straiten them, because of the fact they had turned against God. They had turned, and not only were they putting idols on top of their houses, they were putting burning incense to these idols on top of their houses. They were sending their sons into the fire and the Baal, which God had forbid. God had said, do not do these types of things. And the Lord says, I'm going to make them desolate. And in fact, it's going to get so bad, you're not going to have food to eat. You're going to end up turning to cannibalism. And that's how desperate it was going to be. That's why he says there in verse 8, he says, people that look upon your plight are going to be astonished, and they're going to hiss because of all the plagues thereof. In other words, you ever seen something that was so bad that all you could do is, oh, wow. All you could do is cover your mouth. It's just because of, you were astonished at how bad things had become. And one of the reasons why we need to understand how they had gotten to this point, how they had gotten this far away from the Lord. Well, we can find it if we turn back to, hold your finger here in Jeremiah, and turn back to 2 Kings chapter 21. In 2 Kings chapter 21, we're going to see about a man by the name of, the king, by the name of Manasseh, who happened to be the son of Hezekiah. And notice here in chapter 21, it says, verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah, something like that. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now notice what happened in verse 3. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, meaning all the stars, astrology, and things of this nature, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of the which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. Notice what he did. He built altars in the house of the Lord unto these pagan idols. And it says, and he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It goes on to say in verse 7, and he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. And notice what he was reminding them. He was reminding him this, is that I promised unto Abraham that once that you, your descendants have gotten to the promised land, I will not move them out, with a qualification. As long as you observe to do according to all that I have commanded. If you don't do all I've commanded, I'm going to move you out. I'm going to put you into captivity. They had already been in captivity in Assyria, under the Syrians for 40 years. Now we're talking about going to captivity of the Babylonians for 70 years. It says, all that I've commanded, according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations, whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations, and had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem. Notice the words in the picture here. I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So this was the declaration that was going to happen, because Manasseh, though King Hezekiah, his father, had gone through and cleaned much of the house of all these idols, he did what? He set these things all right back up again. And I want to ask you this morning, how many Christians and even churches today believe they can live like the world without any consideration or fear of God's wrath and chastisement? How many churches today? You know, one of the things is that we, as we were studying there a while back in Revelation, and we get to the last chapter of Revelation, it says, woe to them that do what? I'll paraphrase it. Woe to them that add to my word, or woe to them that take away from my word. Do not add to, do not take away. And there's a lot of churches today that are guilty of adding to the word of God and taking from the word of God. Changing it, watering it down. All of these things, if you will, are going to cause God's wrath to come not only on churches, but also on individuals. How many individuals have taken the Word of God and changed it and brought in damnable heresies into the house of God? And the church, rather than standing up and saying, no, this cannot be, is that they have done what? They've embraced it, they've swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. Rather than, and think about this, how many churches have taken the blood out of the song books because it's too gory? If it was not for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there would be no salvation. Without the blood being applied to our lives and to our spirit and washing us and cleansing us, there would be no salvation. So when you start taking it out, though it seems gory, though it seems bloody, in fact, if you're going to take the blood out, you might as well take out almost all the Old Testament. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the sacrifice, and that's what the Old Testament sacrifices showed us, that it was going to require the shedding of blood for there to be. And it would be one individual, and his name is Jesus. In fact, in Exodus chapter 34 and 14, the Lord says, for thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 4 and 24 it says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And if we look as we were reading there in chapter 19 of Jeremiah, how bad it was going to be, how the plight was going to be for all the people. And we need to understand as a result is that it was going to be terrible for those who had turned away from God. And in fact, one of the things we need to also understand, that as children of God, we're also reminded that the Lord is going to punish His people who will not obey Him. You know, how many times have you heard or read either, you know, social media or other places, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by name shall humbly bow and pray and confess their do what and do this and that. And the reason I say it that way is just, it's become nothing more than a cliche. Because you copy-pasted it out. If my people who are called by name, my name shall humble themselves and pray that God will hear our prayers. How can we though be having services that do not worship the Lord and then call on Him to do what? Hear our prayers. How can we? How can we as individuals? Is that we say, Lord, hear our prayers, and yet we do what? Is that our lives are not according to the way of God. And this goes for every one of us. How can we do these things? And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In fact, Hebrews 12 and 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. I praise God for 1 John 1:9, where it says there, if we confess our sins, and that confess means does not mean, well, I'm sorry, I broke your law. That's not what it means. It means, I agree with you that I broke your law. I agree with you that I stood against your word. I agree with you that I have sinned, as David said there in Psalm 51, against thee, O God, have I sinned. When we get to that point of really, truly saying, I have sinned against you, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Then it says in again in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? He's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to agree with Him that we've sinned against Him. In fact, churches, many churches need to look at what they're doing in the name of the Lord. And many of them need to turn back to serving Him truthfully. How do I know? How can you say, well, Pastor, how can you be so bold to say that? I will tell you, if the Lord wrote to the church of Corinth in the way that He did through the writings of Paul, if He wrote to the seven churches of Asia in the way that He did through the writings of John, there in Revelation, I will tell you, there are churches that sometimes they go adrift and they need to be pulled back. They need to be shown the way back. Israel, God's chosen people, had gone adrift. The Lord loved them. He called them their chosen people. He loved them. He loved them. He cared for them. But it was going to many times take some harsh punishment, some harsh chastisement to do what? To get them to wake up. Unfortunately for some, it was going to be too late. Unfortunately for some, they had gone too far. Unfortunately for some, the Lord was going to end up calling them home through their death. But there were still those who were able to come back, because their hearts would be purified by the Lord. Let's go back to our text here in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And notice here this curse upon Pashur. Now Pashur, the son of Emar, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. What did he prophesy? He had been prophesying that Babylon was going to come in, that Babylon was going to take over, and Babylon was going to, and some of these other prophets that were saying, if they do anything, if we get chastised, it's going to be 2 years. Jeremiah was saying, no, it's going to be 70. It's going to be 70 years, alright? And so they didn't like, Pashur did not like what Jeremiah was saying. And it says in verse 2, then Pashur did what? It says Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. All of this was done for this reason. It was done to make him a laughing stock. Put him in stocks to make them laugh at him. If this was true, all he was doing, all he was saying, I would know about it. Others would know about it. All the other prophets would know about it. If it was all true, what he is saying cannot be true. Just because somebody calls himself a preacher does not mean they're a real true preacher. You got to see what God's Word has to say. In fact, I will tell you, when you preach the Word of God as it is supposed to be declared, people are going to get stirred up. They're going to get stirred up. And sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. They're going to get stoned. Think about Stephen. Stephen, when he was preaching there before the Sanhedrin. And you know, they said, all these people have been saying these things against you. Have you been saying these? He never once defended himself. He just started preaching the history of Israel and got them all the way down to this man, Jesus, whom you have killed. You killed him because you are stiff-necked. You're hard-hearted. You have stood against the Christ that was the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And what did they do? The Scripture says they took him out, they were chewing on him, gnashing at their teeth, drug him outside of town, and stoned him to death. The Word of God will stir people either towards the Lord, or sometimes they run away from the Lord. But it's the stirring of the Word of God. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many people have stood under conviction? The Word of God has been preached. It has shown them clarity of understanding that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And that individual is hearing their own name being called by the Lord, Come to me. Come follow me. Come after me. Come to the cross. There I am. I will meet you there at that altar. I will come before you. I will be there. Come and receive the gift of grace. And they'll stand there. They'll hold on to the pew. They'll be clenching onto the pew. Hurry up, get this invitation over so I can go home, because I don't want to give in unto the Lord today. The preaching of the Word of God will convict the lost man, but it will also convict those who are standing against and have stood against the Lord. And so one of the things that we find is that as a result of what Jeremiah was preaching, what he was teaching, which are, thus saith the Lord. Notice what they did in chapter 18. Turn back to 18 and read one verse there, verse 18. 18 and 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Now hear what they say. We know what the Word of God says. We're in tune with the Word of God. And who does he think he is? Let us devise devices against him. And it says, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with a tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. They weren't his words. They were God's words. We will drown him out. We will shut him down because we don't want to hear what he has to say. Well, we find here back in chapter 20 is that if we saw that pastor came and did what? Put him in stock, smote him. And it came to pass in verse 3, it came to pass in the morrow that pastor brought for Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, and notice the response here pastor. Then Jeremiah said unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name pastor, but Magor Missabib. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself. In other words, you are going to stand in fear. And to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and then I shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give unto the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, pasture, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shall be buried there. Now I will tell you, that's a demonstrable statement. Because you see, the land of Israel, that land is where they, as Jews, that's where they would want to be buried. You're not even going to be buried in the land of Israel. You're going to be buried in the land of Babylon. There of the Chaldeans, there of the pagans. Thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied, that last word is lies. This is the judgment of God. Alright? And so again, putting them in stocks and slapping, it was a public display of, and why would somebody be putting stocks out on public display? It was for showing that the person that's there is guilty and paying the debt of the wrongdoing. That's why you put them out in front. That's why you put them outside. But all this was done was, Jeremiah was so that he would be humiliated. They again, let us devise devices. Let us speak ill against him. And I will tell you, though, that people do wrong to us, I will tell you is that the solace that we have still is that when we're doing the will of God, God is going to be with us. In fact, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though through some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I will tell you, this is a great paradox. I can be joyful in my suffering. I can be joyful in the ones that puts me in the stocks. How in the world? Because we know who I believe in. You know who you've believed in. His name is Jesus Christ. He has saved you. He saved you for all of eternity. In fact, Peter goes on to write in 1 Peter 4, and verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters? Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, easy to say, isn't it? Right? Easy to say. Always. Easy to read, right? But I'll tell you, it's not always easy to apply. We all have had opportunities where people have besmirched us, they have talked down to us, they have condemned us, they've pushed us down, they've tried to out loud us in our stand for the Lord. But you see, the thing is, and I'm going to tell you, we are fragile human people. We are. That's why it's so important. So if there ever was a time that we need to be in God's service, in God's house, is today.
Amen.
Today. And the reason I say that, and I say this with all sincerity, I need your support. You need my support. We need each other's support. Because once we step out of these four walls and we go back into the world, we've got the world against us in many ways more than it has been in the past 30 and 40 years. I mean, the world is really being turned upside down, especially of our own country. And as a result of that, that's why it's so important. You know, we read there in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says, forsake not the assembling. Why is it we need to forsake not the assembling? It is because as the day approaches, it's going to get worse and worse and worse in this world. That's why we need one another. We need to draw strength not only from the Lord, but from one another. Because I will tell you, there are times that we're going to feel that we're all alone. And we may for a moment be all alone. Jeremiah felt that he was all alone. Felt that he was all alone. Because there were those that were reviling him. They were persecuting. They were saying all manner of evil against him. And sometimes when we read there in the Beatitudes, when the Lord said in Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I will tell you, Paul, I'm sure, had some moments when they were beating him with a cat of nine tails, or when he was shipwrecked, or when he was left for dead there being stoned. I have to wonder in his heart and mind, is it worth it? Is it worth it? But you know, the Lord stood him up and he said, it's all worth it. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ. I know that I am the chiefest of sinners, but He has saved me and put me into this ministry. Now I will tell you, this was hard. This was hard for Jeremiah. In fact, the thing is that for him to continue to look at it, to be, and still having to preach against their sins because of what they were doing, and to understand that he had to keep telling them, but the Lord is going to, you're going to go to Babylon, and you're going to die there in Babylon, you and your friends. And I will tell you, think about this for the lost individual that's lived for the world, and a preacher is preaching, or someone has given them a tract that's got the gospel, or someone shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they continually say, no, I am not going to accept Jesus as Savior. I want to tell you, if you step into eternity without Jesus, you are going to spend an eternity separated from God. In fact, John 3 and 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That is a great promise to every human being. He that believeth not the Son, though, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That word abideth on him means the wrath of God abides forever and ever and ever. There is no getting away from it. That's why the Lord tells us that we are to repent. We are to place our trust in Jesus. And as John 8:24 says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. I will tell you, an individual that's caught up in religion has a high likelihood, if they're caught up in religion, they've never trusted in Christ, is that if they're caught up in religion, they're not going to trust in Christ. Religion will not take you to heaven. Only Jesus. He said, what are you talking about religion won't take you to heaven? He said, you go through all the rites and rituals. You get baptized, you become a member of some church, you give money, you try to live good. If that's all you've done is lived in religion, and you die in that religion, you're going to go to hell. Because you didn't do the one thing that you were supposed to do. Trust in Jesus. You see, after we trust in Jesus, then we learn how to live for Jesus. We don't live in religion trying to live for Jesus. We trust in Jesus and then learn how to live for Him. How to be guided by His Spirit. How to be guided by His Word. Now, after all that this was going on, after the priests, the kings, the princes, and all these people were standing against Him, at the end of the day, looking back in our text in verse 7, it says this, where Jeremiah cries out, "O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived." In other words, what he was saying to the Lord, "You didn't tell me everything up front what was going to happen." Well, you would say, "Well, what do you mean by that? You didn't tell me everything." Go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And let's read a few verses out of here. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 1. The words of the Lord, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Behold, I have formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, and destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord to me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And this was symbolic of the power of God. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. God is showing judgment from the north, Babylon. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land, for lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, and have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I think he heard, they shall not fight against thee, and left it there and said, wait a minute, what has happened? Why am I so distraught? I'm distraught because here in verse 7 of our text, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. In other words, you didn't give me all the everything. No, he told him everything was going to happen. They're going to stand against you. But I want to be your defense wall. What they say, though it may hurt, it's not going to kill you. Though they may throw you into miry pit, though they may throw you in stocks, stand and continue to preach the truth. Now notice what he says here about the Lord in verse 7. It's important to see here. O Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. You're always stronger. You're always going to prevail. But I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. And how many times have we been in that situation? They're all standing against me. For since I spake, verse 8, for since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. I will tell you, it would be easy to preach messages that tickle your ears. It would. It would be easy. But the Lord says, you got to give the whole counsel of God. We need to see ourselves as sinners. But you know, it's not always about seeing ourselves as sinners. Is that what we ought to be is encouraged also when we're doing things right. The Lord says, if you follow me, you trust in me, I will bless you. I will lift you up. He also tells us, if you do the things against me, I'm going to curse you. In other words, I'm going to chastise you. You need to know both sides. It's important not just to see the negative side of things, but it's important to see the positive side of things. But Jeremiah was put in a situation, the Lord had called him to preach the Word of God. And yes, they were going to look upon him. He says, I was made a reproach. I was derided daily. And then he says in verse 9, verse 9 is very telling. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, because every time I speak the Lord's name, I get derided. So you know what? It would be best for me not to speak so that I don't get derided. But notice the results of that statement. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. In other words, I could not keep silent. I'll tell you is that when, you know, if we don't preach the word of God, who's going to do it? Now, the Lord could raise up some stones over here, as John the Baptist said. He can raise up some stones to testify, but he says he's left us as witnesses. And you see, when the Lord... How many times have you had opportunity? The Lord has put an opportunity in front of you to witness to someone, to share an encouraging word, and your agenda got in front of that, and you said, "Not now, Lord," and you walked away. I'll tell you what ended up happening was you burned inside. You burned within. You didn't feel. You had no joy that day. You had no pleasure. You had no peace because you knew you had overlooked an opportunity the Lord had given you. Jeremiah says, I just wanted to stop. I wanted to stop. But the more I said it in my heart, the more God's Word just burned in me. I can't stop because this is what I've been called to do. Share the Word of God. Share what He has to say. And He says here in verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, say they, and we'll report it. You say you got something to say, say it, and we'll report it. How many preachers have been roasted on after Sunday morning service? Did I say that out loud? How many preachers have been roasted by the congregation that he's preached the Word of God? And the congregation, many go home and they say, did you hear what that preacher said today? Did he really say that today? And they're roasting him. If it's thus saith the Lord, then yes, he really said it that day. And we need to hear it. All my familiars watch for my halting. You know what this word halting means? It means stopping. They all watch for me to stop. They all watch for me to limp away. In other words, to tuck tail and run. They all watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. And an enticing is that drawing away. Or maybe somebody can entice him and bribe him to stop. And then we'll do what? We have snared him. And you know, Jeremiah had this moment. And again, this may have been a culmination. Remember what we read there in verse 18. They were setting up to devise devices against him, doing everything in their power, speaking ill of him, make a mockery of him, and everything was going on. And then I gave you what the Scripture says, what the Lord says, rejoice when you've been rebuffed in my name. Rejoice. How many times are we rejoicing when we're rebuffed for the cause of Christ? How many times? You know, and how many times when Peter says, don't be ashamed when you're reproached for the name of Christ. Don't be ashamed for that. And I will tell you, that's why it's important, again, that we meet together. We assemble together. so we can encourage one another together, because there are going to be those days. That's why it's important that if you know, Satan's attacking you and people are attacking you, pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I need some prayer. Get a hold of somebody. I need some prayer. This is what's going on in my life. You don't have to be isolated and say, well, you know, I'll just try to lift this heavy burden by myself. Well, first of all, turn to the Lord. That's first and foremost. He's there for you. But there's nothing wrong in calling out for a brother or sister to, I'm struggling in this area. I'm struggling. I need some extra prayer on my, I need an intercessory prayer. But notice here what ended up happening. He kind of came to himself. And you know, it's that moment where we come to ourselves. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. Now think about this. He was wallowing in his despair, wallowing in everything going on. And what I look at this, this was a little resurrection moment. A little Anastasius moment. In other words, he came to himself, and it says that he stood up. I look at it as he stood up out of the wallowing and the misery he was going through. And he did the one thing that all of us can do, is he looked to the one that had saved him. He looked to the one that had called him. He looked to the one to give him strength. And he says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Remember what we read there in Jeremiah 1? I will be a defense around you. Even though that they're throwing darts and arrows and everything is coming against you, the words that are coming against you, those harmful words that cut. Remember, my word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the sword that we're to hold up. He says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord. And here, boy, I'll tell you, you ever get desperate, you ever get in despair, the first thing you ought to be doing is praising Jesus' name. Singing His praise. Sing unto the Lord. Praise you the Lord. For He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evil doers. You ever get into that point of desperation? Sometimes I feel discouraged. I think my life in vain. But then I remember Jesus and all He's done for me. Then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. You see, in the worst days of our life, so-called worst days of our life, the despair we have for following the Lord, and I'm talking about not as an evildoer, not talking about that. I'm talking about following the Lord, because that's what Peter said. You know, not the reproach you get for being an evildoer, that's on you. But the reproach you get for standing for the Lord, proclaiming His name, standing for the truth, is that He will be there with you. And if the Lord is with you, who can stand against you? Read Romans chapter 8. If He hasn't condemned you, who's going to condemn you? If anyone's going to stand against you, He's not going to stand against you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even if they put you in stocks, even if they put you in chains, even if they mock you, it is for us to sing unto the Lord, praise you the Lord, for He hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. This morning you may be going, you may have been going through something in your life that you have just felt distraught, you have felt abandoned. I will tell you, you are not abandoned. You're not alone. The Lord is with you. He is there for you to comfort you. But you know, you need to recognize it. Rather than wallow in what's going on, rather than wallow in our flesh, rather than wallow in those that are mocking us, turn and look up to Jesus, the one who saved us, the only one who can save us. If you're not saved, turn to Jesus, because all you are is going to be wallowing in misery for all of eternity if you step into eternity without Christ. But with Christ, yeah, you're going to have your bad days, but you're going to have a lot of good days. Even in your bad days, you can still sing praises unto Him. Even in your bad days, you can lift up your eyes unto Jesus. He says, look beyond the horizon. Look up. long and wait for Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, come soon, come quickly. Because we know that when He comes, He's going to come with His rewards. He's going to come, we're going to be with Him for all of eternity. What more could you ask for? Look up, lift up, and sing unto an Almighty God. Let us stand as we come. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. As the Lord has spoken to your heart, if there's something that you need to take care of today, take care of it today. Maybe you've been struggling with just the world as a whole. It's time to sing. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, we thank you so much that, Lord, that you recorded the difficulty that Jeremiah was going through, all that he stood, that those that stood against him. But Lord, at the same time, he still knew where to go to. He turned to you. Lord, you know our hearts today. You know the need. Again, if there's one who's never trusted in your Son Jesus, we pray that today is the day of salvation. Lord, as maybe other decisions need to be made here today, as you've spoken to the hearts, may we follow. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Brother John?
Number 111. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.